Psalms chapter 9 in the Word of God. Man, we had a great Thanksgiving week this week. Very broadening experience. Whew, I tell you what. We ate at two restaurants this week that are small, little, very unknown restaurants. But one's name's Johnny's Cafe. Who's ever eaten at Johnny's up in Seguin? Who's ever eaten at Johnny's? Isn't that amazing? Wow. No, I had the ribs plate. The ribs plate. Oh, so Adri got that. Adri got the chicken. And I'm telling you what, big old thick white meat chicken on it and breaded. It was like hand breaded and like homemade, like mom would make, you know. And excellent. But I had a real tragic situation happen to me there. Really, I almost started crying, man. It was hard. All around me, people were eating this pie. Now, this is before Thanksgiving. This is earlier in the week. So all this, you know, stuff I know is coming, all the beautiful sweets that are coming. But, you know, it's that time of the year, and I really, really wanted a piece of this pie. I'm looking around. You know how I am, and I'm talking to complete strangers. I'm looking at what they have on their plates. It's a brand new restaurant. I'm spying at everybody's tables to see. Do y'all do that? When you're in a new restaurant, do y'all look at the tables to see what people are ordering? Because you want to see what they got and what it looks like. And sometimes I'll walk up to people and say, what is that? What are you eating? And I did that several times to people, scared them half to death, but then when they realized it was okay, they were fine. But they had this pie called the pecan cream cheese pie. Have you ever heard of it? It may just be for the holidays, because they're known for their pies. It looked so good. Miss Carol, everybody around me was eating a piece, and people were oohing and awing and talking about it. And I was going up to people, complete strangers, and asking them to tell me what it was like to eat it, and people were describing it. Gideon, I wanted a piece of that pie. Everybody had it. I mean, honey, am I right that every table people were eating a piece? People were telling us how incredible it was. I said, Christy, I got to have a piece of this pie. I was trying to be good, but I decided not to be good. I'm going to have some pie. So I was going to, you know, get four spoons, and we were going to just share this big piece of pie. And I was so excited. Then I waited in line. Miss Linda, you already know where this is going to end, don't you? I got up there, and I said, I'll have a piece of that pecan cream cheese pie. And I smiled real big. And you ever just know when you're about to get bad news? You can just tell the look on their face. She looked at me, and I saw her countenance drop. And with her countenance dropped, my heart fell down. And she said, literally, the lady in front of you just got the last piece. Brother Dan, that left me with a great dilemma. There was nothing I could do. It was done. I said, are you serious? Surely there's another pie in this place. And she said, no, sir, it was the last. Now, we'll have more tomorrow. We'll make more tonight. And I left. Remember that verse in the Bible that the young man left brokenhearted? I left brokenhearted. Didn't get my pie. Almost wrecked my Thanksgiving right there, then and there. I wasn't thankful anymore. I was very ungrateful. But on Friday, we went to a place called Grumpy's. Yep. Who's been to Grumpy's?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you what, we live in one of the greatest food cities. You need to get out and try these places. Some of the hole in the walls, places you've never heard of, non-chain restaurants. You've got to go try it. You've been to Grumpy's, haven't you? Wow. Man, I'd been seeing a lot of you post that you had been to Grumpy's. Where it's on Nacogdoches, right? Yep, Nacogdoches Road. They have this plate, Brother Russ. I mean, listen, you've heard of the Washington Monument, Mount Rushmore. They all pale in comparisons to the biscuit chicken plate. They bring you this big old huge biscuit, and they have a big old chicken breast, fried chicken breast, on a biscuit. They pour white gravy all over it. It comes with hash browns, eggs. It's so big that there's a big old steak knife sticking down through the middle of it to hold it all together. Oh, no, I put it down. No, I put it down, man. There was nothing left on that plate when I was done, but a memory, but a very pleasant memory nonetheless. It was so wonderful, so marvelous. And love it. Love getting out and enjoying our beautiful, beautiful area that we have. Psalms chapter 9. I hope you'll get out and enjoy life sometimes. You know, we don't eat like that all the time. I certainly try not to. But boy, when I get out to have some fun, I enjoy myself. Psalms 9. Now, tomorrow when I go to the gym, I'll be paying for it dearly. But I sure enjoyed it on Friday and on Thursday and on Tuesday. All right. Don't you wish it was as much fun losing weight as it is to gain it? This was the opening verse that I gave last Sunday morning to this same lesson. Didn't get very deep into it, just simply ran out of time. But I'm going to pick it up where I left off. This is a lesson entitled Handling the Holidays, How to Handle the Holidays. And I want to be a help to you. This can be a hard time for a lot of people, and I want to help you understand some things, give you some understanding and some mental strategy of how to approach it so that it can be a joyful time and not just a complete stressful time or a depressing time. Now, the Word of God says this, Psalms 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Two beautiful verses about praising the Lord, being grateful to the Lord, acknowledging the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. All those elements are found in those two verses. We have holidays that are reserved, holy days, that are reserved for us to acknowledge and praise the Lord. Now, every day should be a day that we acknowledge and praise the Lord. Every day we should be thankful, we should be grateful, we should be people of praise. But we have set aside as humanity certain days that we reflect and we concentrate in a greater way our appreciation of the Lord. Now, every holiday somehow circulates around a religious thought. Now, there's a lot of debate, even among Christians, as to whether or not that's necessary or whether or not we should do this. And again, I believe it falls under Christian freedom. We have the freedom to celebrate holidays, but we certainly have the freedom to not celebrate holidays. Why do I say that? Because there is not a command in Scripture to have a Christmas or an Easter or Thanksgiving. There is no command that we are fulfilling to do this. We are fulfilling the desire to praise and worship the Lord out of a free will. We have the freedom to do so. We also have the freedom to not do so. And I encourage you, when you run across brothers and sisters in the Lord who do not celebrate holidays, don't engage in arguments with them. Don't get into debates. Sometimes it really bothers us when people do things differently from us. We just can't hardly stand it if they celebrate differently or have a different view. But in this, we need to remember this falls under Christian liberty. People have the liberty to do it. They have the liberty to not do it. And people ask me all the time, about certain things to deal with the holidays. And is this wrong or that wrong? And maybe they've watched a YouTube video or maybe they've read a pamphlet or maybe on Christian talk radio it was discussed and maybe there was an anti-holiday person explaining their views and they have the right to explain their views. And they have the right in their home to handle it as they wish. People ask me about Christmas trees and Santa Claus. I think all of that falls under Christian liberty. There is not a command that we are to do it. There is not a command that we are disobeying if we do not do it. It falls under your personal beliefs and your personal desires for your home. Every home has the right to do as they see fit on that. And what I want to caution us in all of that is in a church family, let's never, ever let that Christian freedom become a divisive thing, to become something that we fight and argue and debate over. There are good people who love the Lord every bit as much as you do who choose not to celebrate Christmas. And there are people who celebrate Christmas who love the Lord every bit as much as the person who doesn't. And those are not issues that we should be divided over or debate or argue over. And not just in the church family, but in your personal family. Those are things that you have to respect people's personal wishes on that.
And if they choose not to engage in that, I wouldn't let it become a divisive thing. They're not violating any scripture to do so. And by the same token, they're not violating any scripture to do so. I pointed out, we do not celebrate holidays under command. We do it under free will and a desire to express our joy and our praise and our love and appreciation to the Lord. And those are just times that are set aside for us to grind things to a halt and to acknowledge that these things in a greater, more accelerated way. Would y'all agree with that assessment?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we're in one accord on that. Christmas, the holiday season actually, which starts in October and runs all the way through January. There's just one holiday after the next. It's a very, very exciting time, a happy time, lots of parties, lots of getting together, lots of fun things involved around it. But, you know, for many people, they describe it as the greatest time of the year. Man, they cannot wait for the fall that leads into the winter. This is the best time of the year for them. They're excited about it. Man, starting in about June or July, people start getting ready for it. I know people that start Christmas shopping literally as early as June or July because they have such big families and big Christmas lists, and they start getting things together, and they're thinking about it and decorating and planning. We have people in our church that, I mean, go all out. We've got several families in our church that spend months getting their Christmas decorations out. Who's ever been by Brother Les Campbell's house? Isn't that amazing? Listen, if you've never seen what he does over there, you've got to go by his house and see it. He loves it. He loves for you to come by. He spends months getting Christmas decorations ready. You probably have seen it. You just didn't know that was his house. If you have ever driven down the 181 coming into Elmendorf and literally looked over to your right and got blinded by all the Christmas lights, that was Brother Les. His house looks like an atomic Christmas bomb went off. And his whole backyard, which is facing the 181, he's got beautiful Christmas things everywhere. And it's people come from all around to drive by and look at it. Often they stop and have eggnog, and they'll hand them candy canes and things. And he just has a great, great time with that. He loves it, and it's something that brings him great joy. There are people that start planning for this, and it takes months. And they describe it as the happiest, greatest time of the year. There are people, though, who say that this is the most sad and depressing time of the year. And I gave you these statistics, but statistics show that depression is high among the holiday months. In fact, statistically, many suicides occur during the holiday months. Domestic disputes are high during the holiday months. Deaths and illness are high in the holiday months. And this was some of the first things that we covered, and I gave some reasons why that last stat is there, why there's more death, it seems like, during the holiday time. We pointed out the reasons for that, and we saw some common sense reasons for there being higher death rates and higher accident rates during the holiday season. The sad part about it is it puts it at a place where there is a memorial marker where you will remember it forever. I've had a lot of relatives that have passed. How many of you have had relatives that have passed? I can honestly say that I don't remember the death dates of every one of them. I don't really try to remember them for that date. As a Christian, I understand that when I attend a funeral, that the body that's up here is not where they're at. This was just the physical housing for their soul and their spirit, which is eternal, and that this was immortal. I mean, this was mortal, and what is there is immortal. And one day, God's going to resurrect this body, and he's going to refashion it, reform it to be immortal, and he's going to recombine it with the spirit and the soul. So when I grieve, I don't like to think of those dates attached to my loved ones. There are people that do, and I know people that have great celebrations, and they go to the graveyards, and they celebrate over the graves on the days that their loved ones have died. I personally choose to celebrate life days. I may remember them on their birthday, but I try not to remember or to celebrate or to mark death days. Now, there are some dates that I definitely remember. I shared with you the death of Glenn Lewis, who was killed on Christmas Eve in 1987, my senior year of high school. I'll never forget that. Now, there are people that I loved every bit as much as Glenn Lewis, and some people even more. They were even closer to me. I don't remember the days they died. I remember the day they died, but I didn't mark that date. I try not to remember that date. Now, I may remember their birth dates and have special memories attached to that, but I remember Glenn Lewis's. And I remember when my grandfather died, because it was the day before Halloween. Halloween actually being my grandma and my grandpa's wedding anniversary. I don't know who would get married on Halloween night, but my grandparents did. And my grandfather passed away just short of his anniversary. But it's attached to Halloween. I'll think about that sometimes around that. Now, there's lots of other people. I don't really remember it because there was nothing that it was attached to. Do y'all know what I'm trying to say here? I think that's one of the sad things about the deaths that happen during the holiday season. They become more remembered. They become something that becomes attached to a permanent marker every year that's pretty much impossible for you not to think of on that day. I know many of you have been through that. Many of you have had that happen, and I know that you understand what I'm trying to say. And it then seems like there's a darkness attached to these holidays because there's natural memorials that bring it up and drudge it up year after year. There are literally deaths all year round. People on every day of the year somewhere, somebody loses a loved one. But often those days are not remembered when they are standalone days that are not attached to these big holidays. So we understand that. Now, we pointed out some reasons why that stat is there, and I won't go through all that again. We talked about why holidays seem to bring stress, depression, and anxiety to so many. I pointed out that nostalgia plays a big part in that. The memories and things that come along with it as you're getting ready for it. Putting out the old ornaments and you're seeing the ornaments that your children made in vacation Bible school or in children's church. Or you're putting those on the tree and you're remembering when your kids were just little. And, you know, so many times when we're doing our tree, I'll hear Christy reach into a box and go, "Aw." And she'll pull out a picture, Julian on it or Adriana or Savannah on it. She never says that when she pulls out a picture of me on it, though. Usually she says, "How did this get in there?" But we'll look at these ornaments and remember ornaments that were given to us on special Christmases and a lot of nostalgia there. We talked about those memories and loved ones that we definitely hold dear during those times. And we talked about why there's so much stress. I was getting into all this, ran out of time, but shopping is always a big part of the Christmas stress. Money is always tight. Christmas is a huge financial burden. Finding the right gifts can be a challenge. There's price limits. How many of you have ever had the big family gift exchange where you couldn't spend more than $5? Did you ever do that? None of you did that? Man, my family, and up until about 3 years ago, Christmas Eve, we all gathered, and there was about 60-some-odd of us there, 60-something. And my dad was just non-yielding on this. He wanted us to still do Christmas gifts for everybody. But there was a $5 limit. Now, 30 years ago when this started, you could kind of find some things for $5. But you can't find anything for $5. You can't even buy a Frosty at Wendy's for $5. If I gave somebody a $5 gift card for Starbucks, that'd buy them half a coffee. And I would try to explain this to my dad, and I'd say, "Dad, you know, can't we just go to drawing names, and can't we just, because the family was growing and growing and doubling, and I have, I don't know how many nieces and nephews. I've lost count, so many of them." And so we really have a lot of stress trying to find things, and especially things that were $5 that you would want to give, and things that would be worthy to give, things that wouldn't just be embarrassing. You know, the shopping element of it brings a lot of stress. The fear of leaving someone out, dealing with the crowds, finding the time to do it among all the other things in your life. It's a very, very stressful time, and we know that. Sometimes people don't enjoy the Christmas season because of the stress that comes with that superficial part of it. It's not the most important part of Christmas. We all know that. But yet, to say that it is not an important part of Christmas would be, you know, delusional. We all know that it is a very important part of Christmas. I mean, if you came along and told your wife and kids and all your family, "This year we're going to make Christmas about just remembering Jesus and we're not doing any Christmas gifts," Your kids are not going to cheer for you, and they're not going to get excited. You're going to hear some groans and moans, and you're probably going to get called cheap behind your back. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We all know that it's not the most important part, but we do know it is a part. There's no doubt that it is a part. We also know that the stress can be delivered from family matters. Dealing with being fair to all of the family and spreading your time around. I don't know about you, but for years, I lived in the center of large families, two large families, the Riggs family, the Watkins family, very large families, the Azzolino family, very large, and they all had traditions before Christy and I met. Then when we met, we had to merge all these holiday traditions together with our families, and they had big traditions on New Year's and on Christmas and on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving. The first several years of our marriage, we would go eat Thanksgiving at like three different places. We have family members that are blended families where they may end up with their kids having somewhere up to six Thanksgiving dinners on Thanksgiving Day, where they've got to run by this house, they got to run over to this house, they got to run over to this house. That's a lot of stress and a lot of eating. Trying to be fair. And you can feel stretched in all the directions, and often you feel that your whole holiday is spent running to see everybody that expects you to spend equal time. Often you feel so stressed and that you made everybody mad as you couldn't split the pie equally. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but it's a real thing. There's people who went to their in-laws' house and they spent 2 hours. Then they went over to their mom's house where they only got to spend an hour, and mom noticed it. Oh, I see what it's saying. You know, we're over there for 2 hours. You're only going to spend an hour here. And next thing you know, you're leaving feeling hurt and stressed, and you feel like you've hurt somebody when all you're trying to do is spread it out. And on top of that, try to maintain your own family's traditions that you don't want lost in the midst of all this. Does anybody ever go through this? I know some of you are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Some of you are shaking your head, yes. I'm going to tell you, man, people have had meltdowns and breakdowns and literal mental breakdowns just trying to get it all in. And sadly, this time of joy and happiness can become a time of stress and bitterness and fighting. I want to encourage you that if you are in this situation, do your best, especially to prioritize your mom and dad on both sides should get top priority over friends and distant relatives, your grandparents, realizing that as they get to certain ages, their Christmases are becoming more and more valuable to them. But I do want to encourage you to do this. Young couples in the room, do your best to split it 50-50. Do your best to prioritize. There are some people, you're just not going to be able to make it to their stuff. But you've got to always try to be fair. You can't show preference or favoritism. You may prefer to be over at your family's house. That's where you're comfortable. That is where you feel the most comfortable. And you don't really prefer to be at your husband's family. But I want to tell you, if you do the right thing, you will give your mate and his family 50% of the time, or her family. You will split it. If you spend 2 hours here, you should try to spend 2 hours there and keep it as fair as you possibly can. Sometimes you can't, but you ought to make it a goal to be as fair as you possibly can. Sometimes in these family matters, the holiday can be strained by estranged family members. There can be fights and problems there. So we discussed some of this. We ran out of time right in the middle of this. Now, I didn't get into this on Sunday, so this is new territory here. Winter months are depressing to many people. There is a real thing called seasonal depression. It's not made up. It's a real thing, and there are people who really struggle with seasonal depression, and it hits usually right around the time time change comes, when the days become shorter. It gets dark early. There's a lot more darkness. You notice how at 8 o'clock, it feels like midnight. I remember last year when Julian was still living at the house before he went off to college, we were sitting in the living room, And he looked at me and said, well, Dad, I guess I'm going to go to bed. And I said, son, you're going to bed at 8 o'clock? He said, it's only 8 o'clock. He said, it feels like midnight. He said, no, I'm not going to bed that early. I said, man, you're going to wake up like at 3 a.m. wide awake if you go to bed now. But you got that long, dark night. I love those summer nights when it doesn't get dark till like 9 o'clock. You can be out piddling in the yard and doing things and outside. And about 9 o'clock, you come in and it's just now getting dark outside. But man, wintertime, by about 5:30 or 6, it's pitch black. And man, it seems like it's so long. And there are a lot of people who deal with clinical depression known as seasonal depression. During this time of the year, there's gray, dark skies. Now, we don't see it as much here in South Texas. We didn't see it as much in Orlando, Florida. I can remember going swimming on Christmas Day. Often, I've gotten sunburns on Christmas Day. I've lived in tropical environments most of my life. I moved to Hawaii when I was 15, moved from Hawaii to Orlando, and from Orlando to South Texas, where we have a very, y'all feeling very, very sorry for me right now, aren't you? I feel like I've had a horrible life. I've lived in places where there was no white Christmas. None. Zero. No hope of it. I mean, I've literally wore Hawaiian shirts. I saw somebody in a Hawaiian shirt tonight. There's one over there. In December. I've literally gone swimming on Christmas Day. And you know what? There were a lot of people in Hawaii that dealt with seasonal depression because of it. You know why? Because it wasn't the Christmas of Wisconsin where they grew up.
Hallelujah.
And it wasn't a tender Tennessee Christmas. Snow on their roof. Cold Christmas in the air. And I would hear people get mad. It doesn't even feel like Christmas. I'm not even putting up a Christmas tree. And the weather played a big part in this. I would hear people gripe, especially a lot of the military people that had been shipped there and hadn't been there very long. We had a bunch of them in our church. And they would say, this doesn't feel like Christmas. This is not Christmas at all. And I'm not in a Christmas spirit. And I'd hear some of the military wives, we're not even putting up a Christmas tree. This is ridiculous. And that is, a lot of them would get depressed. So you got people up north that it's dark when they get up. It's dark when they go to bed. They get about 3 hours of sunlight. I went to Bible college in Chicago and froze to death. And I mean, it snowed in September. It snowed on Easter Sunday. Try finding Easter eggs when they're 6 inches below snow. That late in the year, it was snowing. I worked at UPS, unloading boxes out on the port there, right off that big old lake there. I'm telling you, I experienced cold. I never knew. And I would get so depressed because I was from Orlando, Florida. And I remember just, I want to see a palm tree. I just want some sunshine. I need to go to the beach bad. It'd be November and I'm walking outside and it's pitch black and you literally feel the nose hairs in your nose freeze. You would breathe and you would get, you know how when you drink a slushy too fast? You ever had that happen, Miss Linda? And you get that and you get a headache? I got it just from breathing. I got brain freezes just from... I worked one night and it was 20 below zero. They put coffee pots out. They froze up completely. It was an iced coffee, just a block of ice inside there. And I'll be honest, it had the reverse. Man, it felt like Christmas. Man, I wanted some sunshine. I don't remember seeing the sun for 6 months. It was gray. It was either snowing, sleeting, or raining. Heavy jackets. Sometimes two pair of pants on. I mean, we worked on those bus routes down in Chicago, and we worked in the church bus routes, and I would have those thermal underwear underneath my suit pants, and I hated it. My skin would get chapped, dry, walk around with a snot mustache. Y'all don't know nothing about that here in South Texas. I got a popsicle one time. We were on the bus route, and a vendor came by selling popsicles, and I decided I needed a popsicle. It was like 4 degrees outside, but I needed a popsicle. I stuck my lick to it, my tongue to lick it, and it froze. Froze, I mean stuck to it, just froze to it. And I was pulling it, and my tongue would go way out. Finally, I just had to go for it. And part of my tongue came off on the popsicle. I was bleeding all over the place. It was so cold that, I mean, you know, normally, you know, your saliva will melt it. No, it froze to it. I am not being dramatic. That's because you just don't understand what a Floridian goes through in Chicago. Go live in Orlando for about 12 years and then move to Chicago. Oh, my goodness. Man, I'll tell you what. I remember getting seasonal depression, and I didn't see the sunshine. It was cold. It was bitter cold. It was gray water. And, you know, snow is beautiful the first two or three days. Then it turns to this ugly, yucky slush. Oh, I did not enjoy all that. And cold, wet days, and the sicknesses and the illnesses seemed to be worse, and being stuck inside all day. You didn't feel like going outside. You didn't go for a walk in 10-degree weather. You were stuck indoors. You ran from your car to inside and from the inside to your car. Have any of you, besides Miss Margaret over here, who you loved it, didn't you? You lived in the north, cold? No?
Yeah, I did.
You did love it? You loved all that?
We did, too.
You loved the cold up there? Man, I did not. I was made for warm weather. I told the Lord when I surrendered to preach, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want as long as it's warm. Amen? But, oh, my goodness. Those winter months are full of hectic schedules with work, school, events, sports, etc. You ever notice that the busiest months of the year all coincide? Holiday season coincides with your children's sports calendars and your children's, you know, events and school plays and things at school. On top of all the holiday events, it coincides with all the hunting events and hunters in the room. You know, you're trying to find times to do that. It all is at the same time. And, of course, there's a lot of parties and things to go to. It's a very hectic time of the year, those holiday months. So winter months are depressing to many people. That seasonal depression can be true. And there were just as many seasonally depressed people, Miss Margaret, in Orlando as there was up in Chicago, because it wasn't cold and it wasn't the traditional Christmas weather. And they wanted to get, you know, the women in our church, if it drops below 70, y'all break out your winter boots and your toboggans and your jackets so you can wear your winter clothes. Well, there are people in these warmer states that it doesn't feel like, it's hard to sing, you know, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas when it's 90 degrees outside. And honestly, there were years it was very hard to get in the Christmas spirit or the Christmas mood. I'll be honest now, in places like Texas and Florida, we're very similar. The cold weather comes later for us. And we're going to have some cold days, but it'll probably be January, February, just after Christmas, that we get our coldest period. Am I right about that? And by the time that comes, Christmas and the holidays is already over. And that idealistic Christmas of having the fire in the fireplace and cold weather and getting to wear the Christmas-style clothing, Christmas is already passed by the time the weather that comes in to correlate with it comes. And so often you struggle through October, November, December, getting into that spirit when the weather plays a part in this. These winter months definitely cause a lot of people to be depressed. People wonder, why am I depressed at Christmas? Well, a lot of it could be seasonal depression. Now, here's the good news. Seasons come and go. If you're feeling down and blue right now, just give it time. This season will pass. Seasonal depression doesn't normally last. It goes away. And there are reasons for it and things that deal in your mind that cause it. But don't panic over it. I think another thing that we have to deal with when handling the holidays is the fact that it comes and goes so fast. There's a lot of work and it's over so quickly. Christmas can be so anticlimactic. That feeling that you get after that last gift is unwrapped and that feeling you feel when you're taking the ornaments down and dragging the tree to the curb, that melancholy feeling, that anticlimactic feeling, It's great when your company comes, but it can be very sad that day after they've all left and that empty house feeling. There's a lot of ups and downs in the emotions that come with the holidays. We're often so busy getting ready for it that we don't have time to enjoy it. And those are all things that come with the season, and those are realities. It comes and it goes so fast. You know, one of the things that I've discerned about the holiday season, especially Christmas, is Christmas has a hard time living up to its own hype. I mean, it can't live up to the hype that surrounds it. I mean, you'll spend months watching Christmas movies. I had this great idea for a Christmas movie. I'm going to write this down and send it into Lifetime. And here's the idea. It's about a girl that lives in New York who moves to a small country southern town. And there's a factory. And everybody in the town works for it. But she's sent there to close it down. But the guy that runs it is a good-looking single man. And they end up dating, and she ends up saving the whole town. I think that would make a great Christmas movie. You're telling me they've already made that one? Is that the premise of every one of them? They end up married. They save the factory. Everybody in the town gets to keep their job. It's a Christmas miracle. You're telling me someone stole my idea? Oh, my goodness. No, listen, every Christmas movie sets a high standard. Christmas songs set a high standard. The ideological Christmas. Have you ever stood in a toy store thinking of your little nephew and you're looking at this gift and you're trying to find the perfect gift? All the other aunts buy lame gifts, but you're the cool aunt. You want to get the best gift. You know this is going to be cool. He's going to open this, and you envision. You stand there in the aisle, and you envision your little nephew opening this gift up. And now he's going to go, oh, I've always wanted this. And he's going to jump up and down, and he's going to start dancing around the living room and holding it. He's going to run up, jump into your arms. He's going to hug you, and he's going to tell you, you're the greatest aunt ever. You're the cool aunt. You're my favorite aunt. And you've envisioned this. And you're willing to slap down the $39.99 to have this experience. All the other aunts, 10 bucks or less. Not you. Not you. So you stand there in that aisle. You had got this all worked out. Then the moment comes. He goes through the wrapping like a buzzsaw. The wrapping that you spent a lot of time making purdy. You ever watch women that unwrap a gift like it's... They just take their time, pop the tape, and they rip it open. All right. Then you watch his face and you're ready. In your heart, in your mind, you're hearing drums. You're waiting for this expression. He looks at it and goes, oh, nice, and just throws it down in the pile and goes to the next gift. No. Has that ever happened? And you feel disappointment. Or you'll see them go on and on about the cheap aunt's gift that cost $8. They'll go on and on about it, and you're like, what? Oh, man. Man, there's just a lot of things that come with it. Christmas has a hard time living up to its hype. The movies, the programs, the music, the expectations, the expected excitement that you want to see in the faces of people you give gifts to. And sometimes you walk away a little offended or hurt when you don't really feel that they understood what it cost you or how much work you put into getting it. These can be hard things about this holiday. And sometimes we're so busy getting ready for it that we don't even really have time to enjoy it. It comes, and by the time we relax for even a minute, it's already a memory. Boy, that's a hard thing to deal with. Number 6, the expectations of holidays are often unrealistic. I've already covered that to some degree. They rarely go the way we have them in our minds, and sometimes our mind is the enemy there. We build it up so big that nothing could really live up to it. So disappointment will be the result if we're not careful. We know this also about the holiday season. We have to watch this. The ending of a year causes us to ask several things. When another year has passed, we have to ask, well, where did it go? What have I accomplished? Am I, you know, where I thought I'd be by now? How many do I have left? We go over the last year often at the holiday season. It's a marker that marks the ending of a year. One of the holidays literally marks the ending of a year and the start of a new year. And that comes with a lot of thoughts. A lot of thoughts that can sometimes be troubling and depressing to us. There is something a little melancholy about something being done or past. Each year comes with promise and hope. And often we reflect on it and it brings us down. And so those are things that come with this season. I think there's another point here that we have to watch out for in handling the holidays is that loneliness becomes a factor during the holidays. Most people handle this throughout the year, but many people realize how lonely they really are during the holiday season. People without a mate or family, they feel it very hard during the holidays. Something I witnessed often when I lived in Hawaii was how hard it was on the military, the single military men. The holidays brought about a lot of sadness and depression. I would see that in them. And often the fact that they were not married or they were away from their family, that loneliness became very, very hard for them during that holiday time. They seemed to bear it throughout most of the year. But during that holiday time, I would notice that it would be very hard on them. There are people separated from their family, and they're going to feel it more during the holidays. I think number 9, this is a big thing you got to watch out for. I'm almost done. I only had 10 points. But, well, that's a lot of points, but I'm saying I'm almost done. Selfishness is a big part of why a lot of people don't handle the holidays very well. Selfishness. Some people simply don't enjoy giving. They don't get a joy out of giving. How many Christmas movies have been made about the Ebenezer Scrooge types? People that are tight, don't enjoy gift giving, think the whole thing is ridiculous. They are mad the whole time it's going on. Some people hate having to be put out for anybody. The holidays come with a lot of being put out. Am I right about that? A lot of having family in and putting their priorities ahead of yours and their comforts. And sometimes selfishness is a hard thing for people to deal with when the holidays come. And sometimes in that selfishness, they dread seeing family. They can't rise to the occasion. They don't like anybody taking up their time or expecting them to give up time. Their goals, their plans, they're not willing to put anything on hold for anybody. All I can tell you is listen, these are precious moments. Precious moments. The workaholic person one day, I promise you, the extra monies you make by working over all the holidays, it's not going to comfort you one day when you've ignored your family and you have no relationship with them. One day when you're no longer working and you're in a house and all those years are behind you and you made a habit of not spending any time with your kids and your grandkids and your family, you never let anybody take you out of your schedule. You're not going to like the results of that. You're not going to like the results of that when you just want somebody to sit by your bedside for a minute, talk to you. When you can't get out and go anywhere, you want somebody just to come sit in your living room and be with you. But all they remember is you never had time for them growing up. You never came to the family. You never did anything with the family. And there's a lot of people who die alone, but they lived alone. They were people selfish with their time and selfish with their priorities and didn't want to take time out for these special. These are times that naturally lend themselves to gathering a family. And if you miss these times, sometimes you can't help it. But when you can help it, you have to prioritize friends and family and loved ones as being valuable. And often selfish people miss the point of it all. I don't see the point in all of this investment. The last thing that I think makes the holidays kind of hard, and we have to guard from it, is guilt. Guilt. A lot of people express feeling a lot of guilt during the holiday season. You know what one of the biggest guilts are during the holiday season that keeps us from enjoying our holiday season? Anybody want to guess? I'll give you a couple tries. What do you think would make people feel guilty during the holiday season? So mad that they can't even enjoy it sometimes. What do you think, Miss Linda? I couldn't hear all that. Okay, sometimes you think people feel like you can't do enough for others. Sometimes you always feel that you fall short, don't you? I can see that mom who's worked so hard, and yet she feels in the end that she just couldn't make all the ends meet and just didn't land it. And sadly, here's a mom, when everybody's having fun, she's somewhere feeling bad about it. She feels like somehow she let somebody down. I can see that guilt. All right, what else? Who else thinks there's a guilt? Right over here. Okay, guilt because you can't afford gifts. And that is a real thing. And it feels bad, especially when you tell people, man, I don't have any money this year. You know, a lot of times college kids may say this. Don't buy me any gifts. I can't afford to buy you. Then everybody says, oh, hogwash. They lavish you with gifts and you feel so bad. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? You'd really almost rather them not give you a gift. You volunteer to get the gift. Yeah. But you do. You'll feel guilty when you know, or that person that really went lavish and got you a $200 gift and you got them a box of Little Debbie's, you know. But at least you wrapped it up. That guilt, it could be real. That's excellent, Timmy. Let's take one more. What do you think can make people feel guilty where they don't enjoy the holidays like they could? What do you think, Russ?
The diet.
Oh, it's hard to enjoy it. You're right. And you get done eating and you say, why did I do that to myself? And it's hard. That time of the year, and it's months of eating that often can be hard on your body. By the way, when you eat a lot of stuff you're not supposed to eat, it can affect your mood. Blood sugar can make you mean. A lot of people getting big arguments at Christmas, and I'll tell you what's going on. Their blood sugar's crashed and they're ornery now, ready to fight. They just feel irritable. You got to watch out for that. And if you feel that coming on, you need to go to a back room and let your blood sugar calm down, but don't stay in the living room and be mad at everybody. It'll pass, and you're going to feel like an idiot if you don't control it. Now, here's the point I'm going to make, and I'm going to close with this. A lot of people admit to feeling a lot of guilt during the holidays because they feel guilty that they have so much when others have so little. You can feel so blessed to the point that you can almost feel guilty about it. You feel guilty about all the joy and happiness in your life, and you see people around you that have so little. You know how it is. It's Christmas morning. You're opening up your gifts, getting ready for a huge lunch, and then a commercial comes on that shows starving kids in Africa with Beatles singing in the background. So this is Christmas, and what have you done? And you're sitting there thinking, man, it's so true. They have so little, and here I am with so much, and I'm not even, doesn't even make me happy all the time. We have to watch all that, because you know what? God's given to you what He wants you to have. God's placed you where He wants you to be. God's allowed you to have the blessings that you've had. And there are people around us that are less fortunate. And I think we need to be balanced and doing all we can to help other people and to share what we've been blessed with. But we shouldn't spend our holiday feeling guilty that God has done some good things for us. And we have to watch that in our spirit. Listen, I hope you'll handle the holidays. These are realities about it. Very clinical type class. But I've pastored a lot of people. I've sat in a lot of counseling rooms with people that are depressed during this time of year. This is a reflection of things that I have learned through those sessions and those meetings and those attempts to counsel people. And those are pitfalls you got to watch out for, because God wants us to have joy in our life. And God wants us to enjoy things. And in the end, we've got to always bring it back to the original purpose of the holiday itself. In the end, remember, it's about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. In the end, if you didn't get the Christmas gifts you wanted, remember, it's about Jesus. That's all side stuff. If your mom made ham and you wanted turkey, it's okay. It's about Jesus. And keep it focused on that. And I want to encourage all of you, on your Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, make Jesus a part of it. Amen. Gather your family around before you open up gifts and read the Christmas story in the Bible. Spend a moment talking about the Lord. Focus on the fact that Jesus left heaven and he was born in a manger. And he did so to redeem man from our sins. Teach your kids what Christmas is about. It's okay to have the fun, meaningless stuff around it. It's not wrong to do that. But it would be wrong if that replaced the true reason for the season. Amen. Amen. Whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, in your spirit, more than all the other things that those holidays cannot live up to, always keep it about Christ in your heart, and you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. Get ready for this season. Prepare your hearts for it. It's a happy time, if you'll let it be. If you'll guard your spirit, guard your mind, understand things, see it for what it is. Is there anyone tonight that could say, Pastor Riggs, I do not know that I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I know that I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Looks like everybody here tonight professes to be born again. Is there anyone that could say, Preacher, tonight you gave me some things to think about as I manage the holidays in my life and in my family? Would there be anybody that could raise their hand to that? You gave me some things to help me with it all. Amen. I hope so. Dear Lord, in a moment I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And when I do, the altars will be open for them to come and deal with their spiritual needs. Lord, it is all about you. Thanksgiving Day, we had a lot of fun. We enjoyed so many wonderful things, but in the end, it was about yielding thanks to you in gratefulness. Christmas Day is the same. Let it not be forgotten or lost. Let us prepare our spirit for it. Focus our hearts. And let it be a joyful time. And Lord, help our people to be wise as they approach it, and not let these things that I described tonight that often wreck people's holiday season. Lord, I've pastored people that literally have spent the whole season sad and depressed. And that's not what you want. That's not the purpose of this. I pray that we could find a better way. And I ask this in Jesus' name.